Elder John Funk. The Lord be with you, Brother John.
Certainly count it a great privilege to be here. Thankful to God for you. Thankful to God for what we heard. I certainly desire an interest in your prayers. I would say that what we have heard this day, if the Lord would just give us the ears to hear the sweet gospel sounds that we have heard this day in this place. Brethren, this is what God's people need to hear today. Wherever they've been driven in this life, these are the messages that we've heard about a sovereign God, a God of love, a God of redemption, a God of eternity, a God who has spoken and speaks to us inwardly, despite ourselves.
Amen.
And so, as the Apostle John wrote in that first epistle, when he spoke of that word that was made flesh among us, that word that the apostles handled and saw with their natural eye and embraced, that's the word that he declared unto us. That's the word that the apostles in the New Testament declare unto us and also write unto us. And so, dearly beloved, if it be according to the divine will of God, let it be his spirit in this place. Speak to our hearts for the time that I would stand here. I don't desire to take much time, but I would like to look at, if the Lord will, that 11th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. There in the fourth verse, it said, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." Surely we can say today that the winds are blowing. They're blowing strong. Those clouds are very present. We can look about these perilous times that we live in, and we understand that there is much evil within the world. We understand these things in the sense that we can see them all about us. We don't know why they happen. We never thought that they would happen in our lifetime, perhaps. But surely, brethren, that wind is blowing and those clouds are there, ominous in the sky all about us. And from time to time we find, and this is the really sad part, that there is a spirit of man that we feel that wind, as it were, blowing among us from time to time. And so if there is a thought on my mind this afternoon, it would be to seek out that Spirit of Almighty God. We know it's difficult. It requires labor in our part to sow. Whether you're out there trying to sow against the wind, trying to scatter the seed, or you're getting down in the dirt and in the dust to try to plant those seeds beneath the soil, we know that this takes labor. But who are you sowing to? Are you sowing to this man, this flesh, or are you sowing to God? And so we think of that passage over in the Galatian letter. If we're sowing to the Spirit of Almighty God, if we're laboring, pressing into Him, bringing forth those fruits meet unto repentance, those fruits of the Spirit, dearly beloved, this is what I believe that the labor that we've heard about already this afternoon is speaking of. Those who are weary and heavy laden and who labor. Brethren, there is something calling us. There is a purpose why we're here today. The Lord has brought us to this place because we are seeking. We are desiring to sow to the Spirit of Almighty God. And that was the subject here in this sixth chapter in the Galatian letter. It said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual." Doesn't that just bring you right down to your knees, dearly beloved? Do you desire to be that spiritual one that's spoken here? We know, brethren, that this flesh, this natural man, can't discern the things of the Spirit. He can't know the things of the Spirit. But it said, "Ye which are spiritual." We understand that there is one within us. The spiritual man who not only cannot die, but cannot sin. We find that that spiritual man, that Jesus, is who we must look to in times such as these, when there would be one who would be in a fault, and ye which are spiritual would be the one to restore. It said, "Ye who are spiritual, Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness,
right,
considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Right.
And then it said, bear ye one another's burdens, sure, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Mm-hmm. Brethren, we don't desire to go back under the law. We don't desire to go through the New Testament Bible and start looking for all of the laws of Christ that we're going to fulfill. I want to submit to you that Christ fulfilled these things in us. Christ has fulfilled his law, which was that beautiful law of love, when he said, this is my commandment, that ye love one another.
Amen.
And if we experience that fulfilling of this wondrous love that was all, we heard about it all day long, that's by the grace of Almighty God. But he said, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Yeah.
You see, Satan tempted the woman in a way that we can say was those three temptations: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Ye shall be as gods. You shall know all these things. It looked good for food, did it not? Brethren, it was a real temptation because it made sense. And from time to time, when that spirit of man would be blowing about us, as it were, we would be reminded that there are those times that man will say things that seem so good, that make so much sense, that rationally and logically it seems to be right. But brethren, you cannot intellectualize, you cannot rationalize your way into this kingdom. This kingdom has been revealed in you by the grace of Almighty God.
Amen. It's hidden.
And we are hidden Christ. Despite all that's going on about us in the world, there's no political speech, there's no brilliant man that would stand before us that would give us this hope that we heard about today. But the blood of Jesus, therein lies our hope for this life. We have a king. We've been delivered into a kingdom which is nigh unto us. And it said, for if a man think of himself to be something, then he's nothing. He deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another.
Amen.
And I know that we all have experienced that by his mercy in this life. That when we're looking unto God in those quiet times that we have, in the quiet peacefulness that we have of relating to our God, of speaking to Jesus in prayer, wherever we might be throughout the day, dearly beloved, our mind has been led so many times, daily, we go through each and every day, to the Father's love, to the sweet kingdom that he has delivered us unto. We think about it every day. I can't think of an hour that doesn't pass by, that my mind isn't drawn to him. You see, the Lord doesn't use the things that would be a lust to our flesh to draw us. He draws us by his Spirit. He speaks to our hearts, as it were. And we understand that in this marvelous intercession by our mediator, Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and man, we understand that he is showing us all that he would have us to do. He is leading us into every good work. It's right here. But let every man prove his own work. We don't need to look to other men to hear about what we must do in this life. There's times that we can receive much instruction in practical living and rightful living in this life. But brethren, what we've heard about today is what we hope to continue to declare unto you and to speak about this hope that we have in Christ Jesus. For he said, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. I don't know where you're at in your walk of faith. Just as you don't know where I'm at. Brethren, we all are on a journey, as it were, through this wilderness of sin, through the fears and the doubts that would try to beset us in this life. Dearly beloved, I want to submit to you that wherever God has led you in this life, whatever your lot may be, you have a sweet hope in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's where your hope is. And what he has finished at the cross of Calvary. We were talking at lunch, even when Job, who was down in dust and ashes, having lived as a righteous man in this life, to the extent that God the Father would say, have you considered my servant Job? And yet when all of that was taken away, and there he is in the ruins of his life, scratching at those sores with little broken pieces of pottery, there were still those who would call themselves temporarily his friends, that felt the need to stand over him and give them advice. Brethren, there will always be those who have much to advise you on. Our hope and prayer is that we might hear from this Spirit, that we might be again stirred and moved in such a way that it would bring us to our knees, that we would cry out unto him. For it says here in that sixth verse of the sixth chapter of the Galatian letter, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Right.
For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Do you desire to be more spiritual? I had a sister once that told me in the church, speaking of a minister that she knew, she said, Brother John, she said, he was the most spiritual man I ever met. And that just made me feel about this big. Because I have a desire to be more spiritual. Don't you? It's only through and by his Spirit. It's nothing that I can do. I have no strength, no ability. But through and by the Spirit, let us sow by his grace and mercy. Let us labor to God, Godward. Said, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're here, dearly beloved, because this is a called out assembly. This is a assembly that has been called by Almighty God. There were those who told me already this morning that there were those voices within them that were telling them to stay home, to stay in bed, to not come out. You don't feel like it. You're not able to get out today. And yet they still went by the grace of God. And now they're here to sit, as we know, under the drippings of the gospel for a little while. And as we experience once again that joyful sound, I know that we are changed for the good in some way.
Amen.
So it said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And before we start thinking that this is some wicked, evil, hideous, terrifying thing, this is a real application to every child of grace. Because it's said that when we sow to the flesh, it said it reaps corruption. Is there peace in your church? Brethren, if there's not peace, there's evidence of corruption. There's evidence of sowing to the flesh. But as I believe, and I know you believe, that when we all, even as it said, that we would fulfill the law of Christ, bearing one another's burdens, comparing that which is spiritual with that which is spiritual, when we all collectively are looking unto this Spirit to be led of the Spirit of God, and the gospel is preached in this place unto us, there's peace. Because we're sowing not to ourselves. We're not laboring inwardly with one another in the sense that we are trying to solve all the problems and to get into each and every little aspect of our weaknesses and work all of those things out through good advice. But brethren, we are looking to Jesus. We are laying ourselves down before his feet, seeking that good part. And it said that if we sow to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit, notice it says shall of the Spirit, reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, we can look back. Some of those minutes remind us again that the Ebenezer Associations and some of our sister associations, the churches that we know, brethren, that we've been blessed to visit in this life, the local churches that have opened their doors unto us by his mercy, they have continued to go on and on by his grace through this life. Because the name of Jesus was proclaimed within their walls. And those brethren, though they had many problems and conflicts down through the years, they remembered the Lord Jesus. There's a little church out in Indiana, Village Creek, has a very subtle sloping floor. You wouldn't even notice it until you get down to the pulpit. But back in the 1800s, some of those brethren crafted a little sign that only the elders can see who are standing behind that pulpit to preach unto that congregation who they're looking up to now a little bit. And it said, "Sir, I would see Jesus." Brethren, we have a desire to sow to the Spirit, to seek that which is precious. And I believe that if we're doing that, we will have the strength because it will be His strength. We will have the Spirit because it will be His Spirit. He will give us that will to do, and we will go by His mercy. And it said, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Right. Hang on, brethren. Hang on to Him. Press on in Him, don't you see?
Amen.
As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You know, there was that Pharisee named Nicodemus. You remember the story there. It wasn't good enough, safe enough in his mind to approach Jesus in broad daylight publicly and speak with Him of these things. So he went by night, secretly as it were. And he was a ruler among the Jews. And it said the same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, "Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." God forbid, brethren, that we take this lightly. That we say, well, we understand that that's happened to us. Now we need to focus on our duties here in this life. I submit to you, dear friends, what do we know about regeneration? What do we know about eternal love that we heard about today? I want to know more about it, don't you? I want to meditate upon these things. This brilliant man Nicodemus, who was a ruler among the Jews and well respected, he saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And need we, for just a moment, be reminded when it's speaking of that water, it's not water baptism.
No.
It's the same water that we read about over in Ezekiel in the 36th chapter. There in the 25th verse, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land." Here we are. We sang about that, Brother Gary. That Beulah land, that was singing about the church kingdom in this life.
Amen.
Fulfilling this very prophecy right here. It said, "And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God." Brethren, I submit to you that that clean water, if it has been sprinkled upon us, we don't know when that took place. We don't understand why it took place other than what's already been said, that it pleased God. But dearly beloved, consider what it means when we go back to places like in the 4th chapter of Jeremiah, when it said, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness." What we heard today, again, in the preaching of the gospel, we heard the truth of God as it's in Christ Jesus, presented to us here in His book, the Bible. In truth, the judgment, you know, the church judgment begins at the house of the Lord. That's what Peter told us. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. When you have questions about what's taking place in your world today and all the fears that would beset us in this life because of the evil thereof, just remember, judgment begins here. These are the front lines, brethren. When we come together as a called out assembly, as God's people, we come here looking for the word of the King through and by the Spirit of God. And it said, "In righteousness," that's Jesus, not us. And it said, "And the nations shall bless themselves in Him, and in Him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Satan would have us to try to sow among thorns the foolishness of this flesh, the weaknesses and the fears that would beset us. Man's brilliant ideas from time to time. They're thorns, beloved. They're thorns. But it said, circumcise yourself to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. We know, dearly beloved, in the innermost part of our being, that if it would be not for the grace and mercy of Almighty God, we would be consumed upon our lusts. We would be consumed by our sin, our doubts, our fears, our lusts in this life. But thanks be to God. He has put his spirit within us. This is our hope and prayer. He has caused us to move. In him we have life. And he said he desired that we would have more life abundant, that we would continue to walk in his statutes and in his precepts. And if you have any hope today in this thought, as I do, not only did God do that, write his laws in our hearts and our innermost parts of our being, pour his spirit into us. But Jesus himself said, I send you the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who would cause you to remember my commandments. So let me close, if I may, with one last passage of Scripture, because I know, brethren, you have experienced this. In the 126th Psalm, let me just read that to you. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Brethren, if we're not sowing among thorns, if we're not sowing to the flesh, but we're sowing to the Spirit, despite the clouds, despite the winds that blow and rage, it may be at times tears of great sadness. But brethren, when we are brought down low to the ground, where those seeds would be planted for good, even though the tears would water those very seeds that we try to sow, as it were. Dearly beloved, it said, though you sow in tears, you reap in joy. It said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And others will see those sheaves. Others will see your good works, but you're not worried about it because you're looking unto God and you're satisfied in him. You're satisfied moving and having your being in the Spirit of Almighty God. But you're coming again here to these wonderful Bethel spots the Lord has blessed us with to come singing, rejoicing, and bringing our sheaves, as it were, with us. And so that's our hope and prayer. If I may, just one last scripture. I just want to share this with you. I just want, if the Lord will open our eyes to see it, I want you to hear it. Because it's blessed my soul this past week. What Naomi said to her daughters-in-law. You ever consider what she said to them? There in the book of Ruth in that first chapter, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law. Now watch this, dear friends. If this doesn't testify of what we've experienced through and by the Spirit of God, in the deliverance and the sanctification to his church in this life. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. And brethren, remember that the church, that new Jerusalem, as it were, that's coming out of heaven, that we see a little bit more each and every day, as it were, it gets sweeter all the time. That Jerusalem is the mother of us all. This church is the mother of us all. And it said, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead. Have you experienced that the Lord has dealt kindly with you? He's dealt kindly to us in his mercy. We didn't know about the old Baptist church. We didn't know you were here. We were out in the world among those who don't even know that we exist, as we heard today. Yet the Lord opened up the door unto us, and we saw something. And the Lord dealt kindly with us. And it said, as ye have dealt with the dead, we were in a waste, howling wilderness. We were dead, alienated from God in our sins, as it were. And dealt kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. That's Jesus. Then she kissed them. You know, the scriptures teach us that we are to embrace each other with a holy kiss. And they lifted up their voice. We did that today. We'll do it again. Sing praises unto him. He joys over us with singing. We lift up our voice and wept, it said, and wept. And there are times, because of that great joy that's wrought within our very being, that we weep for tears of joy, because we're pressing to that high calling which is in Christ. And it said, they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And that's our hope and prayer, that we will again come and exercise these things, worshiping in spirit and in truth. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are they yet any more sons in thy womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return now after thy sister-in-law. And then the 16th verse, we quote it so many times. But I believe we can see the connection between those first few verses that we read here, when it spoke of the house of our husband, when it spoke about returning to the mother's house, as it were, when it spoke about the Lord dealing kindly with us, when it spoke about how we were dead, and it spoke about how we have found rest, as it were, in the house of our husband Jesus. We experienced the sweet embrace, like Paul did that day when Ananias put his hand on him and called him Brother Saul. When you experience again the sweet love of God and that precious, joyful sound of the gospel that makes us weep in spirit. Then we find Ruth saying, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Brethren, we've got a marvelous hope. Despite what nations do in this life, despite what kings or princes or those in a position of authority, as it were, would do, we have the righteous King, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We have Jesus Christ. And in him is our hope, our stay, for he is our all and in all. And so our hope and prayer, dearly beloved, is that we will continue pressing into him and getting into that labor that we tried to speak about today, looking into that perfect law of liberty, Brother Gary. Desiring, as it were, to sow unto the spirit and not unto the flesh. Right. It's easy to do. It's easy to fall away and to start worrying about this flesh and trying to manicure this flesh and take care of all the little details and nuances that we would have according to this flesh. But dearly beloved, sow unto the spirit. Yeah. Press unto him and be like those in that 126th Psalm, that dream, and experience that kindness, even that laughter, and the tears of joy. And that's my prayer for you and I. May the Lord bless you.
Bless
we love
your heart.
You.
Amen. Let's turn to 237. Brother, I love you. Thank you for being with us. Lord, we're good to you. God bless you. 237. 237. Beautiful afternoon. It's been morning. The Lord's been good to us. What a friend we have in Jesus. I'm going to sing that hymn, probably the Open Door of the Church. This church, any sister church is represented. If you want more, have a desire to unite, follow the Lord in baptism, as the Lord will lead you and direct you. We stand and sing 237. What a 237. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Preachers leave us and what all is going on there. But then services again Sunday morning, the Lord willing, at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I think all the brethren are pretty much going to stay with us for tomorrow, except for Brother Randy. Brother Randy's got to leave and be headed back, so we appreciate you being with us, Brother Randy, and pray the Lord's blessing from you and Sister Dylan on the way home. It's been good having you here. Any other announcements that anyone has before we dismiss for this afternoon?
Just thank everybody that contributed to our meal today.
Absolutely. It means a great deal, all the help we've received. Right.
It was great food, too.
You know, it's been a good day. It's been a wonderful day.
Just wanted to say that.
Yes. I'm going to ask Brother Granville then to dismiss this part of the service in prayer. Brother Granville.
Kind Heavenly Father, we thank Thee once again that we could come together in Thy house this day to worship Thee in spirit and truth. We thank Thee, dear God, that Thou hast sent these brethren to preach the gospel, to feed the flock, Heavenly Father. Thank Thee so much for the old church that Lord set You on this earth, knowing that we need a place to go. knowing, get a little taste of heaven as we walk here on this old earth, Heavenly Father. Guide us and direct us, Heavenly Father, the rest of the week in this meeting, Lord, Heavenly Father. We ask thy blessing, thy bless us this week to hear, see, and understand that we can have a good meeting, Father. Thank thee for the good meeting today. Thank thee for the many, many blessings in life, as we know that all things come from thee. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for these brothers to bring forth thy word, that thou art the master and might of all, Father. Thank thee so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Gary just has to remember, if he does it to me this year, I'll do it to him next year. He does it to me this year, I can get it back.
That's mine. You got one of mine?
I'll be here.